potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about some new films that are streaming, including Big Time Adolescence, Blow the Man Down, Dosed, and a look back at The Plague Dogs, for some reasons, obvious and otherwise. I'm also going to be talking about some news, The Trailer Park, and the Home Cinema Roundup featuring Richard Jewell and the Universal Horror Collection Volume 4. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Lots of news happening now. A lot of this in the wake of the coronavirus and the lockdown that's happening in multiple states. Not all of them yet, but we're getting there. First of all, Black Widow has moved. Disney finally said, okay, let's pull that out of the slate as well. Also, some smaller movies like Antebellum and Run have been pulled from the release slate. Those I expected. Those were April releases. I think the Secret Garden, which I'm going to be talking about in the Trailer Park, that's also been moved. The other thing that's interesting, I found, is what Hollywood's doing to sort of salvage the releases that they already have. Universal's leading that charge, and they've got The Hunt and Emma and The Invisible Man currently, quote-unquote, in theaters right now. Makes a weird triple feature, I know, but they're releasing those on demand right now. And it's like $19.99 for a 48-hour rental. I know that's expensive, but here's the thing. If you went to go see The Invisible Man on a Friday night with another person, you'd be spending $20 anyways. And you'd only get to see it once. This is preserving the premiere pricing for the theatrical window. Bloodshot, which also came out last week, and that's Lionsgate, that's going on for a $19.99 buy-through, as far as I understand. So you actually basically are getting that on demand, and if you pay $19.99, I think you get that in your library. The one that everybody's looking at is Trolls World Tour, which is the next movie on the release slate that has not been removed from the release slate. And that one is going to still be released. Universal is saying they're going to release it as sort of a day and date in the theaters, whatever theaters are left. Because, of course, as you know, most of these major movie theaters, the big chains like AMC and Regal and Cinemark, have shuttered their doors for the next 6 to 12 weeks. There are still some independent theaters out there. There are still some theaters in states that have not been put onto a mandatory lockdown. But Trolls will open there, but it will also do a day-and-date release on demand for $19.99, same as The Hunt, Emma, and The Invisible Man. Now, that's interesting because I'm not going to say it's a big game-changer, because you're still going to get movies like the Marvel films and the Star Wars movies and the superhero movies, those tentpoles, Fast and Furious, James Bond, all that stuff. They still need the theatrical window for those. You still need the large exhibition premiere presentation of those movies. They need those $100 million opening weekends. You're never going to get that, at least not at this time, as an on-demand release. But for smaller releases, something even like Trolls, which might be a middling animated release, I think they're just rolling the dice to see what happens, because this might change how smaller movies are released. They might just forego the theatrical release and the money that is spent on advertising and only do it once for an on-demand release and then release it on disc later. I think this could be a potential game changer for smaller releases, certainly for independent releases. Now, there are some other things that have happened this week. Jared Leto, apparently he was in self-imposed meditation exile for the last 2 weeks. And he emerged and he tweets like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. You know, it's good that there are still some celebrities around that remind us that they're utter douchebags about this stuff. I mean, seriously, Jared Leto, I read that and I'm just like, I don't care. His tweet was a microcosm of how he was in his own little world and how he is the only thing that's important in that own little world. I just thought it was absolutely awful. Another thing that some celebrities have done, there was that viral video of, it was like Gal Gadot and Will Ferrell and Sarah Silverman and Kristen Wiig singing Imagine. And I'm like, you know, all good intentions aside, that was just dumb. Because it's just basically a Peter Pan, you know, think good thoughts and we'll get through this. And I think there's a certain degree of that that needs to happen. I mean, people, really, seriously, we're going to get through this. We will. We have the ability to get through this, and we're going to take a hit. There are some people who are going to get sick. There are some people that are going to die, and you can point fingers all you want. But I think as a nation, we're getting through this. Absolutely. And we're at a unique time, as annoying as it is to be shut in with your loved ones for weeks. We have so many options. There's streaming, there's internet, there's video conferencing, there's social media. I mean, my wife's a teacher. My kids go to school. We're dealing with all the remote learning and it's really fascinating how much stuff you can do at home nowadays in the 21st century. So, you know, I mean, we're way better off than the people when the Spanish flu tore through the country 100 years ago. But still, it's not just the happy thoughts. There's some horrible things that are going to be happening over the next couple months. We're going into a recession. You know, the stock market's tanking and, you know, there are people who are going to die. So yeah, we don't just need John Lennon's Imagine. Oh, heavens. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. The first one I want to hit is Scoob, which opens on May 15th so far.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Shaggy and Scooby were taken?
Yeah. This blue light came down from the sky and beamed them up.
I can't breathe.
I have to assume that if they were with their friends, they wouldn't have been kidnapped.
Okay.
Can you skip the emotional punishment?
What would some guy want with Scooby and Shaggy?
I don't know, but I'd like to shake the hand of whoever created this. And then, you know, throw that hand in prison for trying to kill our friends.
This is the CGI animated Scooby-Doo movie that they're putting on the big theater release. It might get moved. Who knows? We'll see what happens in a couple weeks. I think they'll make their decision. But this looks like it might be kind of cute. I mean, I think at least it's following the setup and the template for Scooby-Doo. It's making an authentic Scooby-Doo movie, and it has some cool stuff in it. I like the voice cast. There looks like they've got some irreverent humor in there, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, I'm kind of for that. Even though my kids are kind of beyond the Scooby-Doo age at this point, it does have a certain Scooby-Doo feel to it. So, yeah, I do appreciate that one. So I'm going to look forward to that. Of course, it's probably going to get moved to November, but oh well. The next one I want to hit is The Secret Garden. It was originally supposed to be released on, I think, April 3rd in limited and then wide on the 17th. Well, now they've just moved it completely to August. But there's an ad for this.
My name is Mary Lennox, and my uncle owns this house.
I'm Colin Craven, and the uncle you speak of is my father.
We're cousins.
When was the last time you used your chair?
I've never been able to walk.
We could go outside and who knows? You might feel better. I tried to tell you.
I know of a magical place.
Capable of extraordinary things.
I'd say that you were lying.
Do you trust me? You know what you risk? It's worth the risk.
I believe they made this movie about 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago. And, it looks like it might be a charming, sweet, heartwarming movie for family audiences everywhere. Of course, we're going to have to wait 6 months to see it, but that's okay. I think this is one. We'll see. This is one that might be affected by the new release schedule. It may not be a big screen movie. It might be something that they try and shorten that window between theaters and on demand. Because Netflix did it. They just did like a 2 week from it being in theaters and then on demand for their movies last year. And I think they're challenging it. And there's going to get a lot of consideration for that for the award season this year because of the shuttering of the theaters for 6 to 12 weeks. We'll see. A lot can happen in the next 6 months. Anyways, that's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Blow the Man Down and Dosed.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the movie reviews. Yes, there are movie reviews. There may not be theaters right now, but there are movie reviews. One of the things I'm going to be doing, just to let you know, is I'm leaning into some on-demand titles, which are some smaller releases that are independent, but are releasing on the streaming services throughout the week. There's also going to be some television. I'm going to be talking about some shows that are coming up on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. So, I'm going to be covering new stuff, and these are options that you can get at home. So the first one is a film called Blow the Man Down. In a small seaside village in Maine, two sisters try to cover up a murder only to reveal more dark secrets in the town's underbelly.
Can you start over? I'm confused.
It was confusing.
But you had to do it right.
Oh no. I lost control. With a brick.
You said it was a harpoon.
So what are we gonna do now?
I should have just called the police.
Enid's business is bringing shame to the town.
I try to protect these girls, but I can't do everything.
This one is being released exclusively on Amazon Prime right now. You can get it right now. If you have Prime, I don't think it costs anything. It's part of the service. Otherwise, you'll pay a rental fee for it if you don't have Amazon Prime. But I was describing it to somebody as it was like a Doc Martin episode without the charming stuff with Doc Martin, without the sweet comedy of Doc Martin. This is very dark. So it's more like a Dark Martin. It's about these two girls, women, and they work in a fishery. And their mother has passed away. And in the process, one of them gets assaulted by this creepy guy, and she kills him. And of course, in the process of trying to cover up that murder, they're undercovering other things. There's a brothel in town that's being run not too subtly by a woman. It's got a great cast. You got like Margot Martindale. She's the madam of the brothel. You've got June Squibb. She's one of the women along with Annette O'Toole. They're these sort of busybody women who know the history of the town and the history of the brothel, but they sort of accept the brothel being there, but they don't like to see any evidence of it. And it's about them these two women trying to cover up their crime and what they're involved in. But other things have happened, and it's sort of revealing that as you go through the film. An interesting little movie, a really kind of a, it's not as much a whodunit as more of a howdunit. You want to see how things work out and what happens in the film. And if anyone gets caught, of course they've got all the other characters. They've got like the sheriff and his deputy, but, it's one of those things where you see the town and it's beautiful, but I mean, it's cold. It takes place in the winter and it's Maine. And so it's not like exactly tourist season, but they're still doing the fishing. But it's one of those movies where it's about a small town that relies on a very limited economy and the resources. And the people involved work within those resources, but everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's secret. But there's new secrets and other secrets that you didn't realize you didn't know. So it's got a lot of twists and turns. It's got a lot of sort of reveals and some interesting moments. I did enjoy it. It wasn't super gripping. And like I said, when I used compared to Doc Martin, don't think it's some charming little quaint seaside town. It has a dark underbelly and you see it quite a bit in the film. Ultimately I'm going to say that Blow the Man Down, it works as a movie. It's available now on streaming on Amazon. Check it out. It kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the next film, which is Dosed. A Canadian heroin addict is profiled as she attempts a new treatment with psychedelic mushrooms.
Like, my only friend is heroin.
Addicts tend to feel alone and depressed.
I'm surrounded a lot by the dark thoughts.
Magic mushrooms allow you to change your mind.
Psychedelics will be able to help with many mental health problems.
Opiate addiction is completely unbearable.
She has to go in and find out why she's an addict.
Memories will come up that they never were conscious of before.
What's the best way to love yourself?
I don't know.
That's good. Now you can look for that too tonight.
This one is a documentary. It's available on Vimeo right now. I believe it's, you know, it's a paid Vimeo thing. And you can stream it straight to your home right now. It's a, like I said, it's a documentary. And the first thing I noticed it as an American is this is dealing with the impact of the opioid crisis in Canada. Now, of course, down here in America, we think of Canada as this place that has, you know, the crime's not nearly as bad and the situations aren't as bad. Not as many guns, not as much urban decay. But there's a lot of problems in the big cities of Canada, even like something place like Vancouver, which a lot of people think is this nice little quiet, idyllic area. But it's, this is where this woman's from, and she's a heroin addict, but she's not like the heroin addict that you would expect to see wandering the street, hunched over, going, or anything. She's a functioning heroin addict. She's been on opioids for years, but she's not somebody who's living in the street, although in her own admission, she's had some really tough times. But she, you know, she lives, I think she lives with her father, I think. But you look at her, you wouldn't immediately think, you know, she's not like covered in sores and, you know, she's not strung out. Her teeth aren't all messed up. So this is the face of real heroin addiction and real opioid addiction. And it's her having dealt with all this stuff and all the problems and all these different attempts of treatment for years. And she's trying to go with a treatment because there is a treatment out there using psychedelic mushrooms and other plant, based pharmaceuticals. Rather than the refined pharmaceuticals from the pharmaceutical industry, because she's hooked on methadone and that's trying to keep her down. And it's an interesting perspective because it does show you possible treatment options that may or may not work. And at a certain point, it gets there because she goes on this certain treatment, a Gobi or something like that. It's a psychedelic. And has a certain degree of success, but there's also problems involved. And you could watch this and be, well, there's a lot of hippy dippy stuff that goes on because that, of course, is associated with the psychedelics and the treatment from that. But you know, hey, I look at it like this. If you have a problem and heroin addiction is a huge problem and you find a treatment and it's out of the box and bizarre and different like mushrooms and it works for you. That's great. It's kind of like, I'm not a big fan of pot. I am not a pot smoker. I don't particularly like it. I've never used it. It's not something I have any interest in. And I think that there are people who adore it more than they should, we'll say. But if you got somebody who's a heroin addict and they've switched to pot and that keeps them from heroin, I'm like, well, okay, maybe pot's not so bad in that context. Maybe, you know, you shouldn't be doing pot. But if it stops you from doing heroin, that's a good thing. And, you know, this is trading one drug for another. And of course, all pharmaceuticals are in fact drugs, but this does show you do need supervision. And this may not be a one size fits all treatment, but for somebody who's at the end of the rope, who's having these opioid issues and this heroin addiction that can be traced back to maybe, you know, psychological issues and trauma and that sort of unresolved issues that are the underlying cases to keep you going into relapse. Sure, why not? I'm all for trying different kinds of treatments. It's an interesting movie, but it looks like it might give you an answer, but it's not really an answer. But still, it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for the segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Big Time Adolescence and the Plague Dogs. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with movie reviews. And I want to talk about Big Time Adolescence. A high school kid who bonds with his sister's ex-boyfriend finds himself questioning his best friend's influence.
Zeke was my sister's ex-boyfriend. He was the man. And he made me feel like the man.
Hey, who's going to drink it?
Hold on, what's in that?
Whiskey, beer, cough syrup, and Zanny Bar.
Oh, my dude.
You meet some punk, and you have no idea at the time that he's going to be parked in front of your house every day.
You're in high school.
You should be making friends your own age.
This is circled around Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live. And he plays the older guy. He plays the friend, the ex-boyfriend of this guy's sister. And it's about them actually having a really kind of sweet relationship. Now, of course, he's not a good influence. He's a kind of a ne'er-do-well. He doesn't have a job that sustains him. He basically sells drugs. But his character of Zeke is a friend of this kid. They met when his sister was dating him, and they've just become friends and stayed friends. And now the character, the main character being the high school kid, Mo or Monroe, it's his point of view, of course, and he starts getting into trouble because of the influence of Zeke, who's played by Pete Davidson. And he's like, drinking. Zeke lets him drink a beer now and then. He's a drug dealer and a low level drug dealer. He has access to the drugs, and he gets, Mo to start like selling pot at a house party for the seniors. Of course, that makes him very popular very quickly. And that's one of his supplies. And he realizes that they can make money doing this. And Zeke is just, I mean, he just kind of flops around. He does not have an actual, much of a life. But the difference in this one of the things that I think that works in this movie is there is this really sweet relationship. They both like each other as friends, and they respect each other as friends. And even though the character of Zeke does a lot of stuff that's very inappropriate around a teenager, like a 16-year-old, he comes at it from like a big brother sense of love to that. And I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm talking about just they're friends and they respect each other and they like hanging out. What's interesting is you get this every now and then where you have these inappropriate aged friends. I remember growing up, I was in high school, and there was a friend of mine who I knew through the summer camp I went to. He was a counselor. He was about 5 years older than me, but we got along really, really well. And he was in college, I was in high school, and we'd hang out a lot. We'd go to movies, we'd get dinner. And back in the 80s, there was, they changed the drinking age from 19 to 21 for beer. And my friend Mark was 19 and he was grandfathered in. So he could go into a Pizza Hut at that time and order a beer. And at age 19, when other people around him who were, they couldn't. And I remember, you know, him doing that. But I mean, my relationship with my friend Mark was, there was no drugs involved. And I mean, he was a pastor's son, for crying out loud. And don't get me wrong, PKs can be crazy if you've ever known a pastor's kid. But Mark was actually really straight and narrow. He's a pastor himself now, which is kind of interesting. But we would hang out a lot and we'd go to movies. And I remember my father was a little worried. He's like, this is a little weird. Isn't this an age difference? But it's just, we happened to get along and we were just a couple of years. I mean, now we see each other now and then, and it's not weird because, you know, I'm in my late 40s. He's in his early 50s. It's not a strange, relationship, but you get these kind of friendships that do bloom between people of alternate ages. And that's the thing that I really appreciated about this, because it is this coming of age of the 16-year-old kid. And it's him realizing that Zeke's not necessarily good influence on him in school or in life. And Zeke is also coming of age a little bit later, but he's realizing he also needs to move on and kind of grow up a little bit as well. And it does kind of balance these. I mean, there's a lot of teen drug use and all that kind of stuff that you get in a kind of a teen party movie like this. But you know, I really did appreciate this. I thought this was a sweet movie. And the big thing is you watch this, especially as a parent now, as you know, I'm in my 40s, late 40s, and I watch this and I see the parents' reaction to Mo's relationship with Zeke, and it's clear that the parents are very hands off and not very good parents, because the kid's relationship with Zeke was inappropriate because of the amount of inappropriate stuff he exposed him to, not necessarily because he was just friends with a guy who was older than him. But Big Time Adolescent is it's a kind of a sweet little movie. It's available on Hulu right now. I think they dropped it last week. They pushed it up a little bit. It was supposed to drop this week, but again, because of the theater shutdown, they dropped it last week. You can check it out on Hulu if you've got Hulu. And I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. The next movie I want to talk about is The Plague Dogs. This one I got partly because it's called Plague. There's a lot of people that are watching movies about outbreaks and plagues right now. I don't know why you'd want to watch stuff like the last movie I want to watch right now is Contagion. Steven Soderbergh's Contagion is got to be horrifying because it's so realistic. And thinking back to having seen Contagion, I'd be like, it's way too prescient. It was way too clear on how it's tracking this coronavirus throughout the country and how, you know, it's shutting things down. And there's other stuff like Outbreak or Stephen King's The Stand, although this, you know, Outbreak's about Ebola, an Ebola type virus. And The Stand is, the super flu is just a setup to get them to the apocalypse. And I know people are talking about watching zombie movies and stuff, but we're not there yet. We are not at the level of having zombies running around. But I found The Plague Dogs. I swerved it on Tubi TV. And I'm going to tell you, if you're stuck at home and you're looking at, of course, the major players, you know, Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix, and even some of the smaller ones like Disney Plus and CBS All Access, check out Tubi TV. Tubi TV has a lot of obscure stuff, including this movie, The Plague Dogs. But generally, whenever I've looked for stuff and I can't find it on the major players, I can usually find it on Tubi. And it's free. It's just they drop in commercials now and then. Tubi TV is really good. Another one that's really good for sort of just mega content is Pluto TV. That kind of has these TV stations in it. I'm running up against the break, so I want to introduce The Plague Dogs, and then I'll talk about it a little bit more on the other end of the break. But in The Plague Dogs, two dogs escape from a lab and travel across the British countryside to find freedom.
You'll be punished, Ralph.
I don't understand what you're saying. As for dying, I'll fight before I'm killed. I'm a good dog, Snitter.
You're no dog at all now. You're a sheep killer.
I didn't even know he was working with the damn plague.
Tomorrow they will begin an intensive search of the most likely areas, and they will continue until the dogs are found and destroyed.
If you don't know, it's an animated film from the early 80s. It's originally written by Richard Adams, who wrote the movie Watership Down, originally the book Watership Down. And that was a huge hit. I remember I covered that on my show a couple years ago. The Plague Dogs is not a sequel, but it's another movie like that. It's an animated film, and it's told from an animal's point of view. And you can see where the Richard Adams influence came from. And then it's, of course, done by the same people who did, in terms of making the animation, the same people who did the Watership Down movie. Not the one on Netflix, but the original Watership Down movie back in the 70s or 80s. But I'll talk more about the movie when I come back from the break, because I'm pushing up against it. I'm also going to be talking about box office and home cinema, featuring Richard Jewell and the Universal Horror Collection Volume 4.
Who let the dogs out?
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the movie reviews and finish up The Plague Dogs. I talked a little bit about it before the break, but I just ran out of time. Like I said, I swerved into it on Tubi TV, and I'd been wanting to see it for a while because I'm a huge fan of Watership Down. I thought that was a beautiful movie. I've never read the book, I'll admit. I've never read the book. The stories about these dogs that have escaped this lab, and they have a conversation with each other, so they can talk to each other, and they run into a fox named the Todd who helps them out. And it's interesting because it's from their point of view of them trying to escape the lab and get to freedom and avoid the people coming after them, not just the people from the lab, but the farmers on the countryside because they've killed a couple sheep and, of course, they're being hunted by the farmers and the villagers because they're killing sheep. I mean, the last thing you want to do is kill a shepherd's sheep. They're going to come after you. And, of course, the lab is like saying, well, maybe they're infected with a plague because they're doing experiments on them. And it was, I guess part of it at the time was a veiled anti-experiment on animals type movie. But the problem with it is it doesn't have the complexity of animal culture that the Watership Down did. Watership Down was about these rabbits, and there was a real complex society involved there, in different people having different jobs. And, of course, when they have to move their warren, they're trying to find another place, and they have certain rules and they're trying to follow. And then, of course, they run into other warrens. It's less them against the men. I mean, the men are sort of the humans are in the background causing problems, but it's more them just trying to survive as a group of rabbits. But like I said, their society, their social structure is complex and they follow these rules. Whereas the plague dogs, it's more about them just on the run. So there's no like background or history behind it. And while the people from the lab are coming after them, it's more or less they're just trying to track down the dogs that escaped. And of course, the people hunting them are just trying to stop the animals that killed their sheep. So it doesn't have the depth that Watership Down has, but it's an interesting little movie. It's not nearly as good as Watership Down. I liked it for a degree of what it was standing for and what it was working as. But compared to Watership Down, it's a huge letdown. But it's kind of an interesting little thing. It's an hour and a half long. You can catch it on, like I said, Tubi TV is where you can find it. You can also get on YouTube and other places. So I'm going to have to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about the box office. It hasn't done much. And I'm probably going to suspend the box office discussion for the next couple weeks because there's not much to talk about. I mean, last weekend of the box office was real slow. They hadn't closed theaters yet, but a lot of people were avoiding large groups. And that's why Onward only made $10 million. Bloodshot made just under $10 million. I still believe made just under $10 million. And then The Hunt only made about $5 million. And all those are suppressed numbers because people are not gathering in large groups, and just watch those plummet. And if you look at like the daily box office, Wednesday, the top 10 gross was $250,000 for the top 10. For the top 10, the number one was Onward, only made $60,000 on Wednesday. And that's with a lot of these theaters closed. So this is going to have a huge impact on Hollywood's box office. We're not going to see a lot of big numbers anytime soon until things get back to normal. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. The first one is Richard Jewell. Clint Eastwood directs this film about a security guard who becomes the hero of the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombing, only to become a suspect.
Richard, you're a national hero now.
Thank you, sir. But I was just doing my job.
You always look at the guy who found the bomb just like you always look at the guy who found the body.
Jewel fits the profile of the lone bomber.
A frustrated white man who is a police wannabe who seeks to become a hero.
We're running it.
You're a suspect.
You don't talk.
I talk. Say it.
I don't talk.
This might be the only way to clear your name.
This is a pretty good film, and I remember reviewing it during award season, and it stands up because Clint Eastwood always has a very sober hand. He has a very calm, deliberate, sober delivery of his movies, and he does that with this movie. It doesn't overly sensationalize things. Everything's done at a very steady pace. It's very much a Clint Eastwood film. You start watching it, you know you're in a Clint Eastwood film immediately. Great performance by Paul Walter Hauser as Richard Jewell. I mean, he kind of stands out, and he's up against some big names. I mean, Olivia Wilde and Sam Rockwell and Kathy Bates, but it's an interesting look at sort of the media frenzy of 1996. It's a great pairing with something like I, Tonya, which showed sort of the frenzy of the tabloid media that was really starting to ramp up in the 90s, which was a very different time. And, you know, even though it takes some liberties with some of the characters, and I know I've heard those controversy with that, but it's still a well-done movie that shows how somebody can be blindsided by unlikely celebrity. And, you know, it's an effective film. The also has some decent special features, a background, the real story of Richard Jewell, and then the making of, including a conversation with Clint Eastwood and the stars of the film. You know, it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it. It kind of got buried during award season, and it's something that's still, it's a worthwhile film. So I'm going to have to say that the Richard Jewell Blu-ray, either, or you can rent it. You can stream this online as well. It's totally worth your time. So I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. One more piece of the home cinema roundup. Shout Factory, or Scream Factory rather, has released another volume in the Universal Horror Collection. And volume 4 includes 4 movies. Night Key with Boris Karloff. Night Monster with Bela Lugosi and Lionel Atwell. The Climax with Boris Karloff. And House of Horrors with Rondo Hatton as the Creeper. And so I'm going to play the trailer for Night Monster, just to give you an idea, of course, the cheesy 40s nature of these films.
Ah! Hey, listen, there's a lot of funny business going on out here that I think you ought to look into before it's too late.
What?
I think you know who killed those doctors. You've got to tell us in order to prevent other deaths.
Oh, I can't. I can't do that.
Look. Blood.
Like the other Universal Horror Collections, they're not the Universal Monster movies. Those Universal has held on to the rights. What they've done is they found the people, like, you know, like I said, Karloff and Lugosi and Rondo Hatton. Like Night Key, Karloff plays a guy who's, he's not like a monstrous guy. And it's really not a horror movie. It's more of a crime drama about a guy trying to stop the people that screwed him out of a business deal. But Karloff plays, he plays as just this old man, this sort of soft-spoken, nice little guy. And it's funny, with Night Monster, Bela Lugosi's in it, but he plays the butler. He's just sort of this random butler, and he's like, no, we can't take you now because he's indisposed. There's no, like, sinister nature to the Bela Lugosi character. Same thing with Lionel Atwell. He just kind of shows up for a scene and then disappears. So it was one of those movies where they just kind of, like, plugged some of these names in so they could throw them on the poster. Now, The Climax is interesting because it's the only one here in color, and it's an unofficial sequel to The Phantom of the Opera. So you're going to get, like, the lavish look of Phantom of the Opera. It uses the same sets from the one that they made with Claude Rains in the 40s. You've got Karloff in this one, and he does play a sinister character, but it's kind of a low-key version. It's about him. He's killed the prima donna of his last opera, and of course he's obsessed with somebody replacing her. And you know, even though it has that Phantom of the Opera feel to it, it's not quite the same. But the best one of the bunch actually is House of Horrors, which, like I said, stars Rondo Hatton. If you don't know who he is, he was a guy who was very large, and he had these extreme facial features. He was in a couple movies, but they were really kind of ramping him up to be his own horror star with this one. And then they did the movie The Brute Man. You know, and they're cheesy horror movies. And he's the creeper. He's just basically this guy who stalks around and kills people. But you know, he looked really extreme. And they were really building up a star. But he unfortunately died before that movie came out. But the House of Horrors, what's fun about it, is about an artist who befriends the creeper. And then as a friend, the creeper goes and kills any of his art critics. So I guess I'm on the chopping block if the creeper's upset with me, because I am a critic. I'm not a visual art critic, but I am a critic. So, you know, watch out for Rondo Hatton in my time. But anyways, I'm going to say the Universal Horror Collection. These things are fun because they're sort of obscure movies that you don't know about, and they're a nice little, you know, bonus. They're fun to watch. I'm going to say this collection kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
Other releases this week are Jumanji The Next Level, Black Christmas, and Superman Red Sun. And that's it. I need to go. When I come back next week, I'm going to be talking about more from the streaming world as we hunker down and take comfort in home cinema. And until then, have a fat time at the movies or your home.